well done. Fantastic. Wow. That's good. Hey, would it be okay on Father's Day to talk about dads? Okay. Okay, then I'm going to do that. All right. And actually, I'm sure you've heard a lot of this material before because there's only so many things you can say, but some things are worth repeating. And I don't feel bad about that at all. So if you've heard it before, well, just let it sink in a little deeper this time. Okay? Let's start off with some fun things, though. When your father says, it would take too long to explain, what he really means is, I have no idea how it works. When a man says, oh, don't fuss, I just cut myself, it's no big deal, what it really means is I've actually severed a limb, but I will bleed to death before I admit I'm hurt. When he says, I can't find it, he means it didn't fall into my outstretched hand, so I'm completely clueless. When your dad says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are, he means no one will ever see us alive again. And I'm Father's Day. I'm happy to be a guy. A 5-day vacation requires only one suitcase. Gray hair and wrinkles only add character. Wedding dress, $2,000. Tuxedo rental, $75. If some other guy shows up at a party in the same outfit I'm wearing, we just might become lifelong friends. The same hairstyle lasts for years, maybe decades. Christmas shopping can be done for 25 relatives on December 24th in 45 minutes. Happy to be a guy. Childbirth. Enough said. And then a Father's Day top 10. This was contributed by Donald Smith, and these are things that perhaps men have been itching to say for years. You know, we often hear the rules from the feminine side, but now it's the guy's side. Top 10 rules. Now, I understand that I can probably only get away with this on Father's Day. Okay? Number 10, whenever possible, please say whatever you have to say during the commercials. Number 9, shopping is not a sport, and we are never going to think of it that way. Number 8, Sunday equals sports. It's like the full moon or the changing of the tides, just let it be. Number 7, yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers to almost every question. Number 6, check your oil. Please check your oil. Number 5, anything we said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all comments become null and void after 7 days. I like number 4. If something we said can be interpreted two ways, and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, we meant the other one. Number 3, if we ask what is wrong and you say nothing, we will act like nothing's wrong. We know you are lying, but it's just not worth the hassle. Number 2, all men see in only 16 colors, like the computer's old default settings. Peach, for example, is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkin is also a fruit, and we have no idea what mauve is. See? And number one, rules for Father's Day, Christopher Columbus did not need directions, and neither do we. All right, that was just for fun. Father's Day, kind of a big deal. In the Bible, the word father is used more than 1,600 times. That's a lot. That is more than praise, prayer, and worship all combined. Father. And so the concept of fatherhood must be pretty important to God if he made sure it was put in the Bible that many times. It's a big deal. I believe being a Christian father is one of the highest callings a man can ever achieve in his life, to be a good Christian father. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That's God's word, to honor them. And so, really just two key thoughts this morning, but some good application along the way. The first one is this: Dad has influence. Dad has influence. On Father's Day, remember that. Dad has influence. Reader's Digest talks about Dad and said, he's a mess maker, rule breaker, risk taker. In general, he's the opposite of Mom, the master nurturer, creator of law and order. But for all his mischief, Dad is doing something quite right. That same daddy-like interaction that sometimes annoys Mom will significantly contribute to children's social skills and success in school. Moms and dads are indeed different, but their distinctive styles of caretaking complement each other perfectly to the advantage of the children. Dads have influence. In the Bible, the father is called the head of his household. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he's urged to manage his children and his household in a respectable manner. So the father is charged with the responsibility of looking after the best interests of his family, financially, spiritually, and socially. That's a father's responsibility, according to the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul talks about how he ministered to the people there like a father. And he says, we encouraged you, we comforted you, we urged you to live lives worthy of God. That's all part of what a father does. And then Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. That's a father's responsibility to carry out discipline. Right, Jake? Jake could probably tell you, according to that definition, I loved him quite a lot. Didn't spare the rod. Brad Froese says this: a dad has to discipline because he wants the best for his children. Children raised in the discipline of a strong and loving father have greater discipline as adults, and disciplined adults make better contributors to society. Dads have influence. And discipline is important. I've read this numerous times. I'm sure I've shared it a couple of times before, but it's profound. And so I'm going to share it again, some statistics. Kids need to see a godly portrait in their fathers because 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state institutions are fatherless homes. 70% of teen pregnancies, 80% of rapists are from fatherless homes. 85% of children exhibiting behavior disorders, and 85% of youths in prison are from fatherless homes. If that doesn't say something about the influence of dad, I don't know what does. Now, I know there's exceptions, and some of you right in this room are exceptions to this. I understand that. But these are the statistics on a national scale that gives us a glimpse of how important the father figure is. Lucille Ball, shortly before her death, did a remarkable TV interview with Merv Griffin. And he asked her a very serious, pointed question. He said, Lucille, you've lived a long time. You're a wise person. He says, what's happened to our country? What's wrong with our children? What's wrong with our families? Why are things falling apart? What's missing? And Lucille Ball answered without hesitation, Papa's missing. Things are falling apart because Papa's gone. If Papa were here, he would fix it. Interesting. Here's another illustration of the influence of a father. Leadership Magazine reported a study that affirms the importance of both a parent's attending church. If only mom attends regularly with her children, 15% of those children will remain faithful in attendance at church when they become adults. 15%. If only dad attends regularly with his children, it jumps up to 55% of those kids will remain in church when they become adults. Now, if neither attends, if, you know, family that just kind of ships their kids off to church and then they go do their own thing, only 6% of those kids will stay in the church when they become adults. But if both mom and dad attend regularly, 72% of their children will stay plugged into the church when they become adults. Again, I know there's exceptions to those rules, but those are the statistics that reveal the influence of a dad. Dad actually has a lot of influence, whether it's readily obvious or not. And dads, we need to use our influence positively. There is no greater influence than a legacy a father leaves concerning eternal salvation. Dad, use your influence to lead your family to the Lord. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Okay? Now, I know in a lot of households, and ours was no exception, mom did a lot of that godly training. Probably the majority of it. True. But according to the scripture, God holds dad responsible to make sure it's getting done. Okay? So I understood while Naomi did a lot of the biblical training and raising up of the kids, she did a lot of that to her credit. But God held me responsible to make sure it was happening. And so I had my part in it as well. And even if I wasn't the primary giver of that, I am held responsible for that. And so, men, that's our call if you're a father. Make sure your kids are raised in the training and instruction of the Lord. Somebody said, a boy loves his mother, but he will follow his father. Like father, like son, right? There's a reason there's statements like that, because it's true. Dads have a lot of influence. Whether it's positive or negative, they have it. Okay? Second one is this, simply this. Dad needs honor and respect. One time a little boy was asked to define Father's Day, and he said, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the present. Yep. And they used to, back before we had cell phones, they used to say the highest incident of collect calls was on Father's Day. Dad'll pay for it. And somebody else, I think it was Mike Custis, told me this morning that, you know, on Mother's Day, he was asked to grill out because that's what mom wanted. What's he going to do on Father's Day? Grill out. Yeah. Dad needs honor. Honor means to regard highly and to treat with courtesy. The Hebrew word used for honor means literally to make heavy. Now, some of us dads don't need any help with that, to make heavy. Okay. Thought that was funny, but maybe it wasn't. Okay. So I'll stick with the serious stuff. To make heavy. In other words, don't take your parents lightly. Give them the respect and reverence that they deserve. Ephesians 5:33 is very direct, and it says, wife, you must respect your husband. Respect means to have profound reverence or to be in awe of. That's the idea. So it's not just to be somewhat nice to him, but it's kind of like, wow. That's the picture that the scripture's painting. Okay? James Howell says, respect a man and he'll do even more. And I say, there's nothing that motivates a man like his own cheering section. It's true. Men need to feel significant. And some jokingly comment about men, you get extra credit for the slightest act of thoughtfulness. Yeah, sometimes that's true. But it goes to man's greatest need. Men need to feel important. Just like most wives need to hear loving words from their husbands, husbands need to hear encouraging, respectful words from their wives. Guys, you don't have to be afraid. You can say amen. Right? Men, we like that pat on the back. That goes a long ways. Okay? Here's the truth. Nagging and criticizing will only discourage men. What they really need is positive reinforcement. Okay? Men are a little bit like dogs. We need a good boy, good boy. It goes a long ways. Now, I'm not just talking about a fragile ego that needs to be built up all the time. Although I admit, I think most men do have somewhat of a fragile ego. Pretty true. But I say, you know, if you get a package in the mail and it says fragile, what else does it usually say? Handle with care. Okay, so if men do indeed have fragile egos, and I think that's true, then let's handle it with care. You understand? Because I think sometimes we see the fragile ego and we're like, would you just get over it? No, you handle it with care. That's what you do. Okay? Men, dads in particular, really do deserve respect. Think about a dad's responsibilities according to the scripture. I know American society, the picture of dad is not a good one. But biblically, dad is the head of the home. He's the principal provider. He's the primary protector. He's responsible for godly instruction and training. He's typically the final disciplinarian. I mean, how many of you say, wait till your father gets home? Right? Okay, and ultimately, dad is God's representative to his kids. That's true. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. And so when I pray, our Father who art in heaven, I naturally get my concept of God from my dad. It gives me some idea of what God must be like because God is our Father. I have a Father. So I make those comparisons, and I think it's very natural. Everybody does that. But it goes to the point that dads represent God to their kids. Phillips Craig and Dean sing a song, and the lyrics go, Lord, I want to be just like you, because he wants to be like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you because he wants to be like me. There's a lot of truth there. A lot of truth there. And those are significant things that a father is supposed to carry according to the scripture. And so they need to be respected and honored for their contributions. Proverbs 4 verse 1 says, listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. There's a great way to show respect. Listen and pay attention. It's like old foghorn leghorn. I say, pay attention, boy. Pay attention when I talk to you. Pay attention. Show respect. And I want you to know I'm thankful for a dad who provided even when it was difficult. My dad was involved in church. He loved my mom. Yes, he spanked me when I was defiant. But he also tickled me and wrestled with me when I was a kid. I remember him praying often on Saturday morning behind a closed door. He made me go to church and youth group. That was not an option. He did apologize when he was wrong. He advised me when I wasn't sure of things. He followed God's call. I saw him totally change his life when he was in his late 40s and go into full-time ministry because he was following God's call. He urged me to broaden my shoulders when things were unfair. He still advises me today when I need help. And believe it or not, he asks me for advice sometimes when he needs help. My dad honored his parents. He taught me to think for myself. It was my dad who interested me in studying the scriptures. My dad told me he loved me. My dad was and still is a godly man. I'm thankful for a dad like that. Irma Bombeck, she writes some good stuff, and she wrote about fathers. She says, when the Lord was creating fathers, he started with a tall frame. An angel standing nearby said, what kind of father is that? If you're going to make children so close to the ground, why have you put fathers up so high? He won't be able to shoot marbles without kneeling. He won't be able to tuck a child into bed without bending. He won't even be able to kiss a child without stooping. God smiled and said, yes, but if I make him child size, who will the children have to look up to? And when God made the father's hands, they were large. The angel shook his head and said, I don't think you want to make hands like that. Large hands are clumsy. They can't manage diaper pins, small buttons, rubber bands on ponytails, or even remove splinters caused by baseball bats. God smiled again and said, I know, but they're large enough to hold everything a small boy empties from his pockets at the end of the day, yet small enough to cup a child's face in his hands. Then God molded long, slim legs and broad shoulders. The angel nearly had a heart attack. Boy, this is the end of the week, all right, he said. How's he going to pull a child close to him without the kid falling between his legs? God smiled and said, a mother needs a lap, but a father needs strong shoulders to pull a sled, balance a boy on a bicycle, or hold a sleepy head on the way home from the circus. God was in the middle of creating two of the largest feet anyone had ever seen when the angel could not be contained any longer. That's not fair, he said. Do you honestly think that those large boats are going to get out of bed early in the morning when the baby cries? Or walk through a small birthday party without crushing at least three of the guests? Again, God smiled and he said, they'll work, you'll see. They'll scare off mice at a summer cabin or leave footprints that will be a challenge to follow. God worked throughout the night, giving the father few words, but a firm voice and eyes that saw everything. Finally, almost as an afterthought, he added tears. Then he turned to the angel and said, now are you satisfied that he can love as much as a mother? And the angel was silent. Moms and dads are indeed different. No question about it. But today on Father's Day, I want to acknowledge that dads have influence. They do. Positive or negative, it's there. And so, dads who are here today, let's make sure we are a positive influence on our families. And then dad needs honor and respect. Can we give that to him? Give him a pat on the back. Tell them they're doing a good job. And if you don't have a dad in your immediate picture, Would you pray for other dads and other families? Would you pray for them? That God would supply a father figure, perhaps, if there's not a dad right there in the mix? I think that's very important. So happy Father's Day. I'm going to close with a word of prayer, but then I'd like to meet with the men, 18 and over, just for a minute or two before we call it quits today. So would you please stand? Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day and what Father's Day means. Lord, I want to thank you personally for a godly dad who taught me to love you and to serve you. Lord, help me and help all the dads in here to be a good, godly influence. Help us all, Lord, to show respect and honor to godly men and dads. Lord, there are some here who don't have a dad in the picture. Lord, I pray that you would supply a father figure. Perhaps some of us in the room could be that father figure for that family. Thank you, Lord, for being the ultimate father. You love us so much, as we sang earlier today. Your love never fails. Your love never gives up. It never runs out. It climbs the highest mountain, the deepest sea. You just keep coming after us because you love us that much. You watch out for us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father God, for who you are and all you do. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God's blessings on you. Have a great week. Men 18 and older, if you'll join me on the platform, just a minute or two is all I need.